listening to the Lanch J Radio Network.
Day Radio Network. As I said, I'm continuing this week with my series on my alma mater, Oakland University, bringing a lot of people that I had a chance to go to school with or interact with over the years. We've had some really excellent interviews in this series, and I wanted to bring in, this is a sports show primarily, but we do interview a lot of hip-hop artists and a lot of musical artists from across the country. So I wanted to bring in kind of a change of pace. We've interviewed a lot of female hip hop artists. We interviewed Lauren Talese. She came on the show, but I've never had anyone that sang at the Met. Really haven't had any classic opera singers. So I wanted to bring in Makita Hampton, who I've known for a very, very long time. Wanted to give her an opportunity and chat with her about her career. So I wanted to introduce to my listeners, Makita Hampton. It's great to have you on the show. Hello. What's going on, Makita?
What's up, James? Thank you.
Thank you for coming on. I greatly appreciate it. Wanted to chat with you, and I know that you've had a very illustrious and career singing opera music. And it's funny because my audience, we've had people on that are hip hop stars and spit those 16 bars. We've never had anyone on the show that we had R&B singers on the show as well, but we've never had anyone that's done Porgy and Bess or performed at the Met or something like that. Wanted to ask you to start off. Every time I have an artist on the show, what is the basis of your career? What made you want to sing? Were you 8 years old and dreaming of being on that stage? Is it something that you found out you had a talent for as you got a little older? What is the background of your music career?
Okay, first of all, I hated singing as a kid. I hated singing. My mom used to make me and my sister sing at church. You know, a lot of black singers start out in church or were either forced to do it. Hated it. And it wasn't until I went to our high school alma mater, Pine Forge Academy, is when I started becoming interested in music and singing through the choir. It was like a form of punishment to have to sing. So when I told my parents when I got to college that I thought about, that I was thinking about studying music, they were like, what? Where is this coming? So, I actually started out in college in chemistry and math, and I was doing a music minor. So it was really my voice teacher, Dr. Angelique Clay, who is now teaching professor of voice at the University of Kentucky, the Big Blue. She was my voice teacher at Oakwood, and she was the one who inspired me to go ahead and pursue a degree. I was just taking about 30 minutes of voice lessons. And if you know anything about taking any kind of private instruction, it could be sports, it could be anything. Like 30 minutes isn't much of anything.
Right.
And so she told me, she said, look, you know, I know you're studying chemistry and math and all that, but you have a talent and a skill set that I don't see a lot right now, and I would encourage you to maybe sound with parents, think about it, maybe become a double major. Like, you don't have to drop everything, but think about maybe becoming a double major in music. Then you can get an hour of lessons versus 30 minutes. This is all before the economy tanked in 08, and you know, there was a little extra money that could go around. So I was like, yeah, okay, I'll take on some extra credits and, you know, take my credit load to the max. And So that's when I decided to become a double major. And the summer after I became a double major, I was, Dr. Clay, she told me about a voice program in Austria. And I decided to apply. I got into the program. And so I spent 6 weeks in Austria that summer and the following summer. And it was that program, kind of coupled with Dr. Clay's advising and me just kind of going hard on, you know, just listening to a lot of classical music, listening to a lot of opera. It was really the summer program that solidified my desire and my drive to becoming a classical singer, you know, professionally. You know, my family is very musically inclined. You know, my grandfather played the violin. My grandmother played organ. And, you know, I have different family members who sing and do, you know, play different instruments. But no one's ever done it professionally. So I'm the first, you know, professional musician of my family. And, you know, it's been a crazy ride. And I don't know if I could see myself doing anything else.
Wow. So I'm always very intrigued about people, rather it's a hip hop artist, R&B artist, classical trained singer such as yourself, what compelled them to start? So basically you said that you didn't fall out of the womb singing like some of the people that I've talked to on this radio show. They were 7 years mm-hmm. old. They knew that they wanted to do this. You grew up in the church singing, as I think 95% of the people that have been on the show, even the hardcore hip hop rappers, said that they started their music career going to church as young peoples. I'm curious. So you go through Oakwood and then you obviously matriculate. What was your next step in education? Because music is such a competitive environment, especially mm-hmm. the classically trained. You know, you talk about going to Austria and being overseas. What was your next step after getting your undergraduate degree? Where did you go next in your training to be ultimately where you are now?
So this transition happened while I was at Oakwood. It was my senior year. And if you're familiar with any kind of music programs, we have things called master classes. And so the music department brought in that year, maybe about 4 to 5 different artists in residence throughout the school year. And one particular artist, her name is Laquita Mitchell, who is an American soprano, has a wonderful career. She was a colleague of one of the voice professors there. She came in and she did a short recital, and she did a master class with some of the juniors and seniors. And actually, I was on the waiting list. What do you call it? Alternate. I was an alternate to sing because I signed up late. Probably running the streets doing something. Not really running the streets. Nonetheless, I was late signing up, so they put me on the alternate list to be the last person to sing if there was still time left over. And so I sang for her, and she was like, wow, like, one, I'm glad that you got to sing because of you're here as an alternate, but two, what are you doing next year? Are you going to grad school? Because you should. And she's a very, like, direct person, and if she says something, she really means it. And so I was like, well, you know, I'm applying to places. I missed a couple of deadlines. And she said, have you considered Westminster Choir College in Princeton, New Jersey? And I said, you know, I've heard of it. And, you know, I started the application, you know, it was kind of unfinished. And she said, you need to finish it today. And when you finish it and submit it, let me know so that I can send you in a recommendation because that's my alma mater. I was like, okay. And I felt very strongly about, you know, her going to advocate for me because the deadline was right around the corner. It was springtime, you know, it was like one of the few programs that was still open for application submission. And so I told her, I emailed her, I said, look, I thank you for your time, and I submitted the application, and a few hours later, I got a forwarded email from the voice chair at the time, who eventually wound up to be my voice teacher, and with the recommendation of from Laquita Mitchell, attacks at the bottom. And so I was like, man, like, people are kind of going hard for me right now. I don't even know what's going on. All I did was sing my little song at the, you know, and I guess the thing that baffled me was I didn't have any kind of reference other than my summer program. You know, at Oakwood, you know, a lot of people are good. Everybody's kind of good together. And so when people from the outside kind of hear you, it's like, sometimes we don't know how to handle their accolades or how impressed they are with us. And I received it, but I did not understand what was going on. And I was just like, look, I'm just going to try to do what these people are telling me to do right now until I can put a grasp on what's happening. So the voice teacher at Westminster emailed me. She's like, look, you know, I see that you have been scheduled for your audition. Come and have a voice lesson with me, and you know, we'll chat when you get here. So I went and did the audition. I'm trying to think if I applied some other places. I also applied to the University of Kentucky. That's another story. But for my master's, I applied and also got in. So I got into both Westminster and University of Kentucky, and I chose to go to Westminster because one, it was closer to home. You know, and Princeton is about a 90-minute drive and maybe a 70-minute train ride to New York City. And I really wanted to be in a place where I could at least be close to an arts hall. You know, I was in Huntsville, and then going to Kentucky just seemed to be, like, it just didn't seem right to go further into Middle America when I really wanted to be closer to an arts hub. So Westminster became the place that kind of polished the technique and the technical stuff that I learned at Oakwood. Oakwood is a fabulous place to do like ground hard technical work. And because you know, you've heard the singers come from Oakwood, especially the classical singers. And you know, it, as small as Oakwood is, the teaching and at least in the music department is
the talent is absolutely off the charts. It's funny because one of the things that I've really realized during this series in speaking, first, what jumps off the page is the humility, whether I'm talking to yourself or talking to Ricky Court or talking to Anika Sampson. There's so much humility. Everybody said that, hey, those other people I was competing against were so talented, and there was so much talent at Oakwood. Just a humble spirit. But the other thing is that although Oakwood, when we were there, maybe had 2,000 students, if that, you can wrangle up 250 people at Oakwood very easily that can really sing. And I'm not talking about just can carry a tune. I'm talking about people that can read music, people that can play music, people that can sight sing. I mean, even someone such as myself, who's a novice, sang in Aeolians for 4 years and toured and took voice directly from Dr. Mallory himself. And you just don't find that at many other schools. It's almost, I make a comparison to Motown in the early 1960s, where you just had talent oozing out of the building, and so many people that
it's ridiculous.
I used to sing in a group with Jason Ferdinand and Jeremy Winston, and to see what they're doing right now, it's just laughable. Yeah. It's laughable to see what they're doing, but it's also laughable that someone such as myself, who is a moderate talent on his best day, was on the same stage with them. I want to switch the conversation up a little bit because it's a sports show. Yeah. So I want to talk about a little bit of sports. I think that you played ball at Pine Forge, if I'm not mistaken. I wasn't at Pine Forge when you were at Pine Forge, but I think you played ball at Pine Forge. Now, do you have any skill? I mean, we all know that you're doing the Porgy and Bess and singing the coloratura notes that are way off the piano. But what was your game like? We know what your game is like on the microphone and on stage in front of 10,000 people. What is your game like between the lines and from? Do you got a mid-range? Are you a mid-range jumper? Are you a ball handler? What was your game?
So at Pine Forge, I was a point guard and starting point guard. Had that. Thank you very much. Let me see. I did ride the bench my freshman year, but you know how that goes.
Everybody rides the bench their freshman year. Exposed to Ride Dementia.
Sophomore, senior year, I was point guard, and we went to the playoffs my junior year. I can't even remember.
So were you a shoot first point guard? Were you a James Harden shoot first point guard, or were you a distribution Chris Paul passing the rock around, making sure that your sisters get buckets? Like what was your type of game?
No, I passed it around. I was very gracious with the ball. But give it to me outside the line. I got the three right there.
Oh, so we had the wet three.
Yeah.
Very, 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 very
wet
nice.
Three and a clean layup.
Very, very nice. What do you think? I'm curious because you're up near New York City, right across the river.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mm-hmm. think about with this COVID-19? What do you think about just conceptually with sports? Should we have sports? Is sports something that's needed right now? Are you looking forward to seeing the Philadelphia mm-hmm. Eagles playing this fall with no fans in the stands? Or do you feel that, hey, right now, everybody is just really focused on staying healthy and taking care of their loved ones and keeping their job and managing their income. Sports is not really something that's paramount at this juncture.
I've been a passive sports watcher, especially this season, you know, because, you know, we had the Nets this right. whole fall season and right. half of and up through February. I've just been, you know, like second staff and, you know, just seeing who won. So I hate that everybody is out of their job right now, but yeah. I definitely think we need time before masses come back together, at least in terms of like arenas and stadiums. And that actually affects me too, because all of my venues are over the 10 people limit.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I just want this to be over and cleared out so that it can, you know, everybody can get back to their jobs and to their, you know, to their lives. So, I mean, I can see an empty stadium, but I definitely know what it's like to have an audience
right.
there in that energy. So, I mean, that's a performance too. So I get it. And, you know, I think we should kind of wait a little bit before things clear out.
What do you do to keep your voice in shape during this time? I mean, I know that individuals like yourself, your voice is your instrument. It's like you're an athlete taking care of your body. You're taking care of your voice. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to always be prepared for what comes next. Are you on TikTok singing? Or are you doing Instagram live videos? Do you have a keyboard at home that you're banging out the notes and singing? What do you do to keep your voice intact during this time?
Right now, I think it's just think health. That's actually the best thing you can do. And I don't really like the singing online a lot is not really my thing. It's just, I mean, it wouldn't be my thing if there were no COVID. It's like I'll right. post like performances, pre-recorded performances, but like just kind of popping up on live kind of goes against my introverted nature. It's like a total no-no.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So I definitely, I'm always a person who has like, has to be planned in advance to do kind of that. But, you know, I think just being healthy, not eating all kinds of crazy stuff. And I think the biggest thing is like staying hydrated and making sure I have my humidifier going and, you know, not getting the voice dried out. But it's super essential, like in the weeks leading up to a performance. So, yeah.
How has the quarantine in general been for you? You mentioned that you're an introvert. I've been also intrigued about how people have managed quarantine. I've said on this show that I was under quarantine for more than a year back in 2010, 2011. And by day 90, I had imaginary friends. I was watching Martin and I thought that I was hanging out with Martin and Pam. Like it really starts to wear on you mentally over the time. How is it? But I'm an extrovert. I love crowds. I love being around people. Mm-hmm. I would be talking to random people at CVS if they didn't have social distancing out here in Arizona where I live. How has the quarantine been for you? Do you get a chance to do some introspection? Are you reading a lot? What are you doing during the quarantine?
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually pretty cool. You know, I have a couple of group chats that I'm in, you know, video chat, you know. now that I've switched over to the Apple life, I've got FaceTime and, you know, talk to my parents and my grandparents. Just catching up on shows. And I mean, there are a few days here and there that I'm just like, oh, okay, this sucks.
Right.
You know, because usually I like to, after I've had enough of my own self, you know, just driving around or going to the mall or something, that's like enough human interaction,
right,
aside from, you know, performing and working.
Right.
But, you know, I'm generally okay. But now when, you know, I can't travel to like Maryland or Delaware to see my parents, or, you know, my grandparents are in Philly. So, you know, it's just like the smaller chunks of interaction that I miss.
Absolutely. Well, the final question that I have, and I really, really appreciate you doing a great interview, Makita. And if you haven't seen Makita Hampton, I know that she has her own website, MakitaHampton.com, and that's spelled MakedaOneA, Hampton.com. It really goes, it runs the gamut. It shows the whole list of her performances, those that she's done overseas, the Porgy and Bess, which I'm a huge fan of. Believe it or not, Makita, when I was at Pine Forge, I did Porgy and Bess with Joanne Jeanette. Fortunately, that's not on tape. But I did the Bess You Is My Woman Now. I did the Porgy and Bess and Joanne Jeanette.
Yeah.
Did that with her. Me and my friends had laughs and jokes on that for many, 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 many years. So Porgy and Bess has always been something that's near and dear to my heart. But the last question I wanted to ask you, what is the difference between a coloratura soprano and just a regular soprano? For those that are listening in the audience that want to know, when you have that label of coloratura, what is the branding of coloratura that sets you aside from a typical soprano singer?
Okay. So in the classical world, you have the giant umbrella of soprano. So that is a specific range of pitches that, or what we call the tessitura. That is a specific tessitura or the range of that particular singer. So it could go down from, like, let's say A below middle C all the way up to like F or G 6, which is like above high C. You can have like a span of a 2-octave range, and that is like the general soprano range. And then so the different types of sopranos can be like subsets of that larger umbrella. So coloratura soprano is typically a soprano who doesn't have as much weight in the voice as maybe like a dramatic soprano or like a full lyric soprano. So you could even have like a lyric coloratura, which is kind of what I'm growing into right now. So it's like some fullness in the voice, but you have your body also allow a lot of agility. And it's this type of repertoire that you sing, which is like a lot of fast passages, or kind of like if you think of somebody who likes a lot of runs. But you have other gospel singers who can't do runs at all, but they can do a couple. So coloratura is someone who just has a lot of agility to sing like fast passages and in the voice.
Everything that you said was completely over my head.
Oh, okay. So let me see if I can give an example real quick.
Who would you say, if you broke it down, Makita, who would you say if you were analyzing people that sing in, not, is it only the classical realm, or are there people that have that same level of range that sing R&B music or rock music?
Let's see, who could I, the closest person I could probably compare that to is maybe Mariah Carey.
I was about to say that, okay.
But it's not just the range, it's a repertoire that has a lot of fast, agile, like a lot of moving passages, a lot of notes that you have to sing in a short amount of time.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's like, oh, kind of like that versus.
I'm definitely going to use that as a sound bite on my commercials with you singing.
No, not that one.
But I really appreciate the interview, Makita. That was a great interview. Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, no problem.
For what you guys are doing with music, you know, thoughts and prayers out to you. I know that I'm very fortunate. I've been able to continue to do my job from home during this time, but there's so many people that are dependent and contingent on being able to fill up arenas and being able to fill up venues, and then just, you know, doing what you do, it's really hard, if not impossible, to do with social distancing. So we just look forward to the time where this COVID-19 is over and we have a vaccine or we have some effective treatment and we can get you back out on that stage. And I'm praying for everybody I know that's in this situation, that your funds are straight and that your families are straight and that you're able to get back to doing what God puts you on this earth to do as soon as possible. So thank you so, so much.
Thank you for having me. This is fun.
All right. Stay healthy, James. Nikita. All right.
Will do. You too.
You're listening to the Lanch J Radio Network. Rampage, the first lieutenant of the Universal Flipmo Squad.
We cannot teach grown people new tricks.
Nah, you gotta get into the youngins.
We have to change the culture. And the reason why we have to change the culture, because it needs to change. So I'm in the school for 2 weeks. I had my first test. They get graded tomorrow. I'm teaching them the culture about putting playlists together, like a mixtape, make their own mixtape. The best mixtape gets a platinum record or some headphones.
That's dope.
James Lewis.
You cranks. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You get them them cranks?
Yeah. So
plug for cranks.
Or video game, because they've got some gamers.
All right.
You know, I got some students and I got 20 students. Boom. I get a call from School of Hip Hop. Again, they want you to go to ASU and teach a curriculum class.
Wow. You're listening to the Lanch J Radio Network.
I see you favor a 45.
Tonight I do. And I keeps one in the chamber in case you ponder it. And that showpiece you got there.
Walther PPK 380, double action.
Hey, them Walters like to jump some.
As will you, with one in your elbow.
That gun ain't got enough firepower to make my joint useless. It definitely won't stop me from emptying out half my mag.
You might not hit me.
This range? And this caliber? Even if I miss, I can't miss.
I admire a man with confidence.
You're listening to the Lanch J Radio Network.
FreeAgentRadio.com. Free to play what we want. Free to say what we want. FreeAgentRadio.com.
Beat rocked and drop the beat.
You're listening to the Lanch J Radio
Network. Okay, let's begin.
Here it is.
And I could take one album with me to listen to the rest of my life. It would be Mecca and the Soul Brother.
I love you to death, cousin.
What's going on with you, bro?
It's that return of that 12, buddy.
You know, it all started from Heavy D. He started, you know, everything. And I was basically under him. And, you know, he believed in what I was doing and stuff. And we worked together and experimented and, you know, decided to, you know, do music together.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.